Okay. But right now, we have a guest.
We do. And as we have been reporting, COVID variants are running rampant. But the good news is the cases are down. So we want to bring in our favorite virologist, Dr. Angela Rasmussen, to discuss whether the worst is behind us.
I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business.
Good morning, Dr. Rasmussen.
Good morning, Ursula.
Well, let's just start right there. Is the worst behind us?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think so. While I'm just as happy as everybody else that case numbers are in decline, there's a few different things that could explain this. But the bottom line is a lot of people really don't know why the cases are in such a steep decline. And it may be, in part, good news. It may be because enough people have been infected so far nationwide and enough vaccines have been rolled out that we are starting to approach the herd immunity threshold. But most people, myself included, don't think that's actually the case. It might also be because people are taking extra precautions, which I hope is the case.
Yes.
And it might also be because resources have been shifted from testing to vaccination. So we're just not testing as much and detecting as many cases, in which case those declines may not be as significant as they appear. But the bottom line is that we've seen from the UK already how with the variants circulating in the population, declines can be rapidly reversed. So in order to prevent that from happening, we really do need to hold off on celebrating for now that the pandemic is over and that we are going back to normal and continue to use precautions to prevent transmission.
So as long as you're talking about that UK variant, over the weekend, I read that now the thought is it could be deadlier.
Yeah, so I'm still not completely convinced. This is based on data from various hospitals in the UK that showed that people in general who contract the variant have a higher risk of being hospitalized and dying. But data like that can be somewhat confusing to interpret just because there are so many different factors in every different patient population. That increased risk of death was not present when they only looked at hospitalized patients. So that makes it a little bit confusing to interpret. But the bottom line is that it's still potentially deadly. It is SARS coronavirus 2. It's definitely more transmissible. You should avoid contracting it at all costs.
Dr. Rasmussen, right now in the state of Washington is, well, actually all over the United States, but I want to just talk about here right now in this state, going back to school. Where are you at with, if you believe that schools should be back in session, all school districts here in this state of Washington?
Well, I think this is something that's really very specific to individual communities. And sometimes it can be specific to individual schools. So this is not just as simple as saying it's safe or it's not safe to reopen schools and have in-person classes. The CDC last week released guidance suggesting different metrics that school districts and public health officials can use to decide if schools should be opened or at least opened for a hybrid learning plan. And a lot of it has to do with the prevalence in the community and the testing positivity rate. If there's a lot of COVID circulating in your community, then it's probably not very safe to open schools. If there's not a lot of COVID and you've been able to control that within the community, and you're willing to also apply certain mitigation measures in schools, such as wearing masks and distancing and limiting class sizes and so forth, then it may be safe to open schools. Now, certainly some teachers have objected also to opening schools until they can get vaccinated. And I think that's a very good point that they make. I think that, you know, they also should have a voice in whether they're going to take the risk personally of being back in school themselves. So I think it's a really complicated question. And there's no easy answer for should we open all schools in Washington State. I think it's really going to depend a lot on the individual characteristics of each school district in each community.
The World Health Organization They're saying that recovered COVID patients are being reinfected with new virus strains. Are people who are getting reinfected with a variant getting sicker, or do they at least have some immunity that keeps symptoms mild? Can you explain that?
So that's a great question, G. And my short answer to that is I don't completely know, because it's such an emerging situation. But what the situation is that people in particular in South Africa have been reported to be reinfected with the B1351 variant that's widely circulating there. That has certainly made people very concerned that, vaccines might not be able to protect people against that. But as far as I know, there's not much of an indication that reinfection is always associated with more severe disease. There's no indication really that reinfection means that you will get more severe disease or that it won't be potentially mild or asymptomatic. So while it's an emerging situation, and I don't want to comment too definitively because of that, I will say that people should not be scared that, reinfection is going to result in a much more severe case of COVID if it does happen. I'd also like to add that while the B1351 variant has been detected in the U.S., we don't really know how prevalent it is, but it doesn't seem like at this point yet it is extremely prevalent. So this is really a warning for us to really double down on our precautions to reduce our own exposure risk, because we don't want this variant getting a foothold here.
So for many months now, we've been talking about how kids are not as affected by COVID or don't seem to be super spreaders in the younger ages, et cetera, et cetera. But now I'm looking at this news story about COVID. This COVID-linked syndrome in children is growing, and now the cases are more severe. And it's called the Multisystem Inflammatory Syndrome in Children, or MIS-C. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I think I read the same article in the New York Times. And MIS-C is certainly a concern for kids with COVID. It's still rare, but it does appear that it's becoming more common, and at least that it's being diagnosed and reported more. So it's certainly something to consider when also talking about school reopenings.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, and what are we hearing, too, about reaction to vaccine? Is there anything, now we're a few months into it, or at least, 6 weeks into it. Are we hearing of more reactions or negative reactions to the vaccine?
I don't think so. We're still hearing that some people, a minority of people who get the vaccine, feel pretty crummy for a day or two after they get it, especially the second shot. This is, usually mild flu-like symptoms, enough to be pretty uncomfortable for people. Some people have reported extreme fatigue and headache and things like that. But to my knowledge, the rate of severe adverse effects, meaning, adverse effects like an allergic reaction, something that you might need more intensive treatment for, is very low. The rate of those allergic reactions is thought to be about 4 per million people vaccinated. So that is a pretty good safety record for this vaccine. People should be aware that it might be pretty uncomfortable to get the vaccine for a couple days. That's certainly better, though, than getting COVID. There's no long-term injury associated with those side effects, but people should be preparing themselves for that possibility when they do get their turn to be vaccinated.
Dr. Rasmussen, before you go, last night I had the TV staring at me, and I was staring at it. And during that time, I was learning about the Ebola kind of sparking back up over there in Africa. I know this is something that you know a lot about. Help us understand what's going on right now.
Well, I'm so glad you asked me about Ebola, because that is actually one of the viruses that I primarily study when it's not a coronavirus pandemic. And the Ebola situation is extremely concerning. Really, it's giving me deja vu to 2014. because when the outbreak or the epidemic occurred in West Africa in 2014, which began in Guinea in late 2013, there was a simultaneous outbreak of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there is another case of Ebola that has also emerged. So right now, it looks like we are looking at two unrelated outbreaks of Ebola virus in Guinea and in the DRC that are occurring at the same time. There's no indication that these are related to each other, and they weren't related to each other last time. They were distinct strains of Zaire Ebola virus. That may be what's happening now. The samples have been sent for sequencing, so we will know more about where those viruses came from, if they are related to any of the previous epidemics or outbreaks that have happened in those regions. But it is very concerning. You know, places like the DRC and Guinea are both stretched very thin right now because of the coronavirus pandemic, because of other epidemics that have occurred there. For example, in the DRC, they've had a real problem with a measles epidemic. And in Guinea, they have had a problem with yellow fever outbreaks. So these are places that are already very stressed in terms of the demands on their healthcare infrastructure and their public health systems. It is really not a good time, not that there's ever a good time, but right now is especially not a good time to be dealing with an Ebola outbreak on top of it. But the good news is we do have a very effective Ebola vaccine that can be used in conjunction with testing and contact tracing to really limit and contain these outbreaks. So let's hope that they can get this under control before it becomes something much more serious for those populations, people living in those countries.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Angela Rasmussen. We sure appreciate your time and your expertise, and we look forward to talking to you again next Tuesday. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
Tell Tass hello.
Will do.